Hi guys, welcome to the Geek Twins podcast. My name is Maurice.
And my name is Nigel.
And we're two twin brothers who discuss all things geeky with a multicultural slant. Today we have a very special guest. Today we have a special guest with us, Amy Ratcliffe. Amy is an author, a blogger, a cosplayer. She does a lot of stuff for StarWars.com, IGN, The Nerdist. She also has her own blog called Geek with Curves. She's just everywhere on the internet, and we are so glad and so grateful that she could join us. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, welcome to the show. We really, really appreciate it.
So, before the show, we started talking a little bit about Free Comic Book Day. I didn't get to go. I went last year. And, Amy, did you get to go?
You know, I didn't. I decided not to. I normally go to Free Comic Book Day, and I do love it, and I love that it exists. But I have so many comics sitting around my house that I have not read, and books that I decided maybe this year I shouldn't add. Even though, you know, Free Comic Book Day stories are sometimes shorter, or they're, I don't know. I decided I should not add to my to read pile.
Yeah, and I didn't get to go because it was busy. And last year I went, and I got a couple of good comics. But as they have a bunch of wonderful comics at Free Comic Book Day, but I must have gotten there late because I didn't get anything that was anything special except for Aliens versus Dinosaurs. I still like that one. But Nige, did you get to go?
Yeah, actually, I did go. I took the kids. I went. Well, last time we went was a couple of years ago, and they had a real blast. They had like a guy dressed up as Darth Vader, and we took pictures with him. And they have a lot of free kids comics, so that was good. This year we went to a different one, and it was really way more crowded. Like the line was out the door and halfway to another building. We stood in line for 45 minutes and about a half hour, and we had shuffled our way through. And we got some good comics. I'm looking right now. My kids got a SpongeBob comic and a. Let's see. I don't have it in front. Transformers, Robots in Disguise comic. And I got a Secret Wars comic and a comic that's all. Yeah, it's supposed to be Secret Wars Zero, which I'll stay up front, Amy. I'm kind of the opposite. I like comics and I follow comics, but I don't actually buy a whole lot of them anymore. I buy like the graphic novels to, you know, because I don't do the monthly thing. And so I'm kind of behind, and I really saw this as a chance to get back into comics and see what's going on in the scene. So that's kind of why I went, and I got the all-new Avengers, all-new, all-different, they call it, Avengers comic. And I didn't want to talk about that because that is really amazing. I didn't know that. I mean, I kind of heard about it, but in case you haven't heard about it, listeners, they are forming an Avengers team which is more diverse, way more diverse. They have the new Miss Marvel, who's Muslim. We have Miles Morales, who they brought into the real continuity instead of being in the Ultimate line.
And oh, Spider-Man. That's cool.
It is. And then they have the female Thor, which is also interesting. And then they've got Falcon, who now is the official Black Captain America. And then Iron Man, in the sneak peek I saw, I didn't have his costume off. He was in the armor, so I'm assuming he's the same Tony Stark. But so when they say all new and all different, they're not kidding. And then Nova, who also has, I have to look up and see if Nova is different. But so you've already got two female heroes, two black heroes. And, I mean, it's really a great step toward, you know, diversity in comics.
Awesome. Yeah, it's kind of refreshing. All right, cool. So
And overdue.
Tell me about
very
it.
Overdue.
Did any of the backlash over the female Thor or the Black Captain America, did you pick up on any of that, Amy?
I haven't read any of the comics yet, but I'm glad that those changes happened.
Yeah.
And that we're starting to see kind of more of that change in the comic book industry. But I am, you know, I'm bad about, so comics to me, like, it's interesting. Like, I read them, but I read a lot more indie titles than superheroes. And when I read superhero stuff, it's usually, some of it's current, but a fair amount of it, like, I go back to, you know, like, origin stories and older stories. So it takes me a long time to catch up. But, like, I will be picking up for sure the all-female Avengers team, like, when that kicks off. Like, I'll be starting with that. It might have kicked off already, actually. I don't remember.
That's a good question. I'll have to Google that later on. Oh, good point.
Yeah.
So, we got to talk a little bit about Free Comic Book Day. Amy, I'd like to just talk about you for a few minutes, if that's okay. We just wanted to ask you a couple questions.
Go for it.
All right, cool. So you're a writer for a lot of different outlets. How did you get into writing?
You know, I don't want to say I knew I'd be a writer since I was, you know, like 5 years old, because that is absolutely not true. I didn't figure it out till much, much later in life. And, you know, I tried, like, when I was in my 20s, like, writing some short stories and stuff. And at some point I realized, you know what, like, fiction, not happening. I don't like it. I'm too, I think I'm too lazy for it. I don't have the imagination, I think, sometimes for fiction, or commitment, or talent. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I could just write about, you know, real life stuff. So I started writing about, you know, I kind of started like a more personal-ish blog first about like kind of travel and food that didn't quite work. But then I realized, like, wait, why don't we talk about all the nerdy things that you love? And that ended up being my, like, the perfect, like, I never, you know, was short on topics. It was something I was very passionate about, so it made it easier, and it let me. So I started Geek with Curves, my own blog, to kind of try different styles of writing, to write about all the things I love, and to find my voice and find how I wanted to approach articles and blogging. And I learned a lot through starting my blog, and then it kind of exploded from there. I think that was 5-ish years ago, maybe.
Interesting. So you started you started your writing for your blog, and then that transitioned to writing for other blogs?
Yeah, it slowly, you know, when I started my blog, I made sure to cover a variety of topics within nerddom, stuff that I was, you know, comfortable with and stuff that I enjoyed, and also to write different types of articles. So I would do interviews and reviews, like list articles, a little bit of variety. And I would always try to be as professional as possible, so that if an editor came knocking, or if I needed to show my work to someone, I'm like, here, look at this long history of stuff I've done on my blog, just on my own time, that I'm putting together and trying to put together in a professional manner. Like, look at me, I'm capable of being a grown up. Kind of, I don't know. And through Twitter, slowly I met editors, and started working for other websites. And it was a very slow trickle, until I was able to do, you know, quit my day job, so to speak, and started going freelance full time a year and a half ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, I gotta say, when I when we started the Geek Twins, I kind of saw it as a stepping stone towards writing for those big, like, because Maurice and I, we talk a lot. We try and think of the Geek Twins like our, if you want to call it competition, the people that we look at is like IO9, Blaster. We know we're not at that level, but we try and have that type of level of blog where we, like you said, make a diversity of topics and lists and interviews. We're still working on interviews. We don't do too many interviews because of our schedules. But, you know, when we do get interviews, like with you, we do try and make them as special as possible. So I really admire, you know, and look towards, I really admire your work. I read it. I think you're an awesome writer. Oh, here, I'm listening. Go ahead with that.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I broke up a little bit there at the end.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So the other question I wanted to ask you is, you're a big fan of Star Wars, obviously. What is it about Star Wars that resonates with you, and do you think with the fans? What is it about Star Wars that makes it Star Wars?
Yeah, because it is like this own, like it's different entity, right? Like what other franchise, obviously other franchises have been around as long, Star Trek, Doctor Who, there are several long running sci-fi series, but I don't, like off the top of my head, I can't think of another franchise, you know, when we only had the original trilogy, when we only had three films, I can't think of another franchise that expanded in the way that Star Wars did and that kind of kept the love going for so many decades, just on the strength of three films and then also, you know, eventually video games and comics and books. But that always kind of blows my mind that when I watch, I mean, I'm biased clearly because I love Star Wars, but when I watch A New Hope today, and that movie was made in freaking 1977 and it, or, you know, released in 1977 and doesn't, it holds up. Yeah. Like, I think it still holds up very well. And most movies from that time don't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, especially when you look at the special effects and things like that.
Yeah, Zardoz, we're looking in your direction.
Yeah. Yeah, true. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I like that point about go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, I think when you point that out, it's remarkable because right now we're living in like a golden age of Star Wars, but for like decades, it was only those three movies, and they were able to take those movies and keep, like you said, keep the life going with comic books and then eventually novels and the action figures. I mean, and they were able to take all these different elements of those three movies and spin them off and give them their own life and expand the background of different characters and things. And really, but it just those same three movies resonated so much that they carried the fandom for decades. And now, you know, it's expanding even further. And it's really amazing. It's a really unique franchise, especially it attracts a different audience, not as much of the technical aspect. You know, there's people who would never watch Star Trek for all the long conversations and the diplomacy and the different things like that, but just the sheer fun of and excitement of it is what people can enjoy. And then there are deeper levels to it that you can enjoy as well.
Yeah, Star Wars explores some really profound themes about, you know, a hero's journey, and there are a lot of connections to mythology, and the hope of Star Wars always, it really gets to me in a good way, and it's something I connect to, and I think other fans do as well. But yeah, I would say a combination of all of those things, and the world building, and lightsabers, and Jedi. It's just like this beautiful, like, lightning in a bottle combination of things. And the fandom is so passionate too that I think it kind of ends up like being this circle of Star Wars life that feeds itself and keeps making itself bigger, if that makes any sense at all.
Yes, it does. I mean, and like you said, it just, the franchise, it picks up like 40 years later and we still have the same actors and the same feeling is there. It's amazing. One other question that we wanted to ask you, how do you think the growing voice of female geek fans has changed science fiction? Like, you yourself are obviously...
Oh, boy.
Go on.
Oh, yeah, I'm vocal. That is... I don't know if that's what you were going to say, but I'm vocal for better or worse.
I was going to say, there was a time where female geek fans, female fans of science fiction and stuff, their voices were pretty much subdued. It was mainly male, let's say male, white male voices were the voice of geekdom, but that's changing. Now, how do you think that's changed the genre for the better?
I think we're still in the middle of it. I think it's a really slow change, and that when it comes to big companies and Hollywood and licensees that refuse to make Black Widow toys, it's still a struggle. Like, we're making progress, and I think it is very important that the internet has really contributed to making our voices louder, because we have blogs, we have Twitter, we have all kinds of social media and ways to express ourselves. And I think that's helping, but I think we're still in the middle of the struggle. But I know it does make a difference to speak out and to do so, you know, not only just to speak out, but to do so in a, you know, even when you're upset, do so in a calm, like, collected manner, like write a rant, but it's easy. You can write, it's not easy to write a rant and like pull back your knee jerk reaction, but it's possible. So to complain about something and speak out about something in a rational manner with like point A, B, and C, rather than just calling, you know, Hasbro or Marvel or DC names on Twitter, that's not the right way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, right? Right. Yeah. A well-reasoned, when you're speaking up and trying to be a voice, be a rational voice and be a smart voice. Don't just yell to be heard. So I think more and more female geeks are speaking up. An example being when they released the first cast photo of episode 7, and the only new female on that cast was Daisy Ridley, and a lot of women, including myself, spoke up and said, really, this is what we're getting? It's 2015, guys, or 2014 when that picture came out. Like, maybe we could have a few more ladies in the galaxy. And a lot of people want to talk about that stuff. There are a fair amount of fans, and you know what? They're usually white males that don't get it. And they'll be like, well, just stop whining. Like, just be patient. I'm like, look, Mr. White Male, who is represented in every single sci-fi film and every movie ever. Nobody, you never had to be patient. So that ended up being a ramble. But I think the industry is slowly changing. And I think, you know, Kathleen Kennedy addressed that at Star Wars Celebration, specifically related to Star Wars, and pointed out, you know, Felicity Jones is the lead of Rogue One. Right. And that she called that out and said they are making an effort to have, you know, there will be more strong female leads. So I think we're making progress, but I think we're very much still on the road to the end, or still in the fight or in the race or something.
Yeah,
there's still further to go.
Yeah, we do. I mean, even in terms of diversity, the fact that there is a black male lead for us is huge, because it means so many different things to so many different people. For us, it means that instead of having Lando Calrissian pop up or Mace Windu, which was cool, you can't take anything away from Samuel L. Jackson. He made the whole movie. But it's nice to have a black male lead in there, have a female lead. How many female... We don't know the roles, but there are like three or four, right? Daisy Ridley, Felicity Jones is going to be on Rogue One, Lupita Nyong'o. Not sure how to pronounce her name. And then there's...
I'm not sure how to pronounce her name either.
So the episode 7 is making huge changes, and not everyone's comfortable with that, but I think it's important.
Yeah, I agree. And I just, you mentioned briefly, Amy, the fact about Black Widow. I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, because it does deserve its own discussion. The fact that a lot of the Avengers merchandise does not include Black Widow, like, at all. You have t-shirts and toys, and it's mainly about the four male white leads. And, you know, and the funny thing is, to me, the outcry about that, I guess I shouldn't say the funny thing, but what struck me is that that was, you know, kind of the same in the first movie. It was pretty much just Thor, Iron Man, Hulk, and even Hawkeye got more publicity, and Black Widow was in the background. But I think the voices now are calling out the fact that Black Widow is a strong character. She's one of the Avengers. She's not just one of the bit players who runs around. I mean, she was amazing in Captain America, Winter Soldier. She was, you know, it was great to be able to feature her as a character. And so now in the new Avengers, there's a lot more Black Widow fans, and they need to acknowledge that with the merchandise and the publicity, and put a female face on the publicity. So, like Amy was saying, you know, we're making progress, but...
But I think we can agree that change can happen, and it's happening slowly, like you said, Amy. Do you think there's going to be much impact from? Do you think episodes 1-7 is going to make any kind of impact in just Star Wars in general, in the handling of the female protagonists?
I think so. I think, you know, I want to see how they're portrayed and make sure there's not a protagonist in a metal bikini again. But I think overall, having a movie of that size and of that importance, featuring women in a variety of roles, like, I, for example, I really hope that one of those women is a villain.
Just that would be
to have
great.
Some diversity in that regard. Yeah, because I feel like we built up, you know, with women, there was, one, a struggle to get females in movies, and then two, now it's a struggle to get people to think past, like, not every woman in a movie needs to be a strong, badass woman, because that is not the only type of woman in the world. So, like, now it's getting to having more different kinds of women represented. And I think that if Star Wars Episode 7 does that, that hopefully, you know, part of me says, like, you know, hopefully Hollywood will listen. But at the same time, you know, Frozen, movies like Frozen and The Hunger Games have made bucket loads of money with their female leads, and Hollywood still doesn't seem to listen. So I don't know. I want it to make a difference. I don't know how much it will.
Yeah. I saw a statistic, I don't know if you saw it, that 90, I think it was like 100% of the executive producers in Hollywood are white males. And like, not even, it doesn't even crack from one level to, it doesn't even go 1%. And so it's a lot of, there's going to be a lot of game changing. Like I said, there's money to be made here. There is an opportunity here.
Yeah.
Hollywood can ignore it, or maybe we'll make our own Star Wars movie. What do you say? We'll just, okay, I'll play Han Solo, and then Amy, you can be the Luke Skywalker character, and Nigel, you can be...
There you go. Gender flip Luke Skywalker.
There you go.
Yes.
Call it Star Awakens, just so we don't get sued.
On board.
All right. You heard it here first, guys. We're going to make our own Star Wars movie.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. All right, cool. So I'm just looking for the notes. So at the end of the podcast, we usually play a game. And Amy, is there anything you wanted to talk about before we wrap up? Any final thoughts? Go ahead, Nash. I think you got something to say.
Yeah, I just, when I was looking for the news today, I just wanted to briefly, you know, touch on news. I don't know if you heard, Josh Trank, the guy who was set up to direct Rogue One, is actually, he said he's left for personal reasons, but the rumors are that he was fired or he was pushed out, and so Gareth Edwards is going to be taking over Rogue One as the director. I don't know if he's, Josh Trank, he directed Fantastic Four and also the awesome Chronicle, and I don't know, any thoughts on that? It was kind of a last minute thing, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, you know, I saw that article, and one of the headlines said Josh Trank leaving Rogue One. I thought Gareth Edwards was directing Rogue One.
You know, I couldn't understand that as well. I didn't think he was the director of Rogue One, but all the articles I found, I don't know. I tried to do a time search on Google to go back and see when he was announced. There was an article in March on him being the director, but at the same time, Gareth Edwards was apparently one of the guys who came up with the concept. So I'm really confused. I haven't been following Rogue One enough to know. I don't understand why everybody's saying that
I think it was just a knee-jerk reaction because everybody... Oh, go ahead, Amy. You probably know. You could probably answer this pretty quickly.
I can help. Josh Trank was directing. He was set to direct the second standalone that we know nothing about except that he was the director. Gareth Edwards is Rogue One and has always been. So Josh Trank is off mystery projects that we don't know anything else about yet.
Oh, okay. And then there's a lot of misinformation because there's headlines out there that say Josh Trank leaving Rogue One.
Yeah.
So in reality, he was actually not the director of Rogue One. He was the second movie, which was never announced to begin with. I mean, it was announced, but no information. So we don't even
exactly
know how it's going to affect. All right.
I'm looking at a headline for Vulture, and you can tell they changed the title because you can see in the URL it says Josh Trank leaves Star Wars Rogue One, and then now it says Josh Trank leaves Star Wars film. So we're not the only ones.
Uh-huh.
I think it's because everybody is talking about the standalone Star Wars film Rogue One, so that must be what he's talking about. But no, that's not. But no, I mean, it's interesting. This could be transitioning to a whole other discussion about Fantastic Four, because one of the articles is saying that the Fantastic Four shoot was so difficult for him that that's why he's leaving, although we don't know. How do you feel about Fantastic Four, Amy?
I hadn't kept up with a lot of it until last night before Age of Ultron. I saw like the first full trailer because I'm trying to, as much as I can, avoid it with my job. I'm trying to watch the least amount of trailers and clips and footage that I can, because I find that I enjoy a movie more when I haven't seen, you know, 25% of it. which is what I feel like they, like, I just kept seeing, like, Age of Ultron clips being released. I'm like, you guys, we're all going to see it. You don't need to. Anyway, Fantastic Four, I'm into it. I'm very surprised by how young they all are in the movie. I don't know that that would not be my choice, but I will probably see it in the theater.
Yeah,
that's not the most ringing endorsement, I know, but I'm like, well, I'll see it.
Well, it sounds like you're at least on board enough that you don't want to spoil the movie. If you hadn't made up your mind, you would be like, well, I'll watch the clip and see if it's going to convince me to watch it at all. But so I know what you mean. I'm kind of hesitant, but at the same time, I can see how a Fantastic Four movie could definitely be improved over the last one. And Josh Trank, he earned a lot of cred with Chronicle, so I'm interested to see what approach he takes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic about the movie myself. I'm kind of the... Yeah, I feel like I do too many spoilers. I'll never forget when I saw Batman, the 1989 Batman, the first shot of the Batmobile was supposed to be this big reveal, but I'd already seen it in magazines, like, months before. So I felt like I missed something. There was that moment where, and the moment where Joker turns around and he pulls his hat off and you first see him. Again, I'd seen him before in magazines. That was when I said, while I still do enjoy a good spoiler on occasion, I definitely think there are some movies that made better when you avoid the spoilers. Which is kind of...
Agreed.
Which is kind of where Mark Hamill was going when they talked to him at Star Wars Celebration, the after show. And he said, I don't know why people keep trying to spoil Star Wars 7. We just want to make a surprise for you guys. When people are flying overhead and they see a Millennium Falcon, they're going to take pictures. Anyway, that's enough of it.
Internet movie database. True or false?
Okay, I'm going to list three actual facts that come from the Internet Movie Database trivia section, which I've found are rife with errors, because there's no no accountability. They don't do backlinks. They just say something, and you have to either take it at face value or do your own research. So, I love the Internet Movie Database, but here are three facts taken from the Internet Movie Database. Okay, two are real, one is fake. I mean, okay, two are real.
See, when you say, the only reason to say it is when you say fake, that implies that they're not on the website. They are on the website, but they're actually not true.
Okay, I gotta figure out a better description. I'll say two that are correct and one that is incorrect.
That is much better.
Okay. Okay. All right, here we go. All right, so the first piece of trivia is Robert Downey Jr. kept food hidden all over the lab set when he was filming Avengers, when nobody could find it. That was his actual food he was offering and that he was eating. It wasn't scripted. He was just hungry. That's the first fact. Robert Downey Jr. hides food on the set. Okay. Fact number two, the code word for Avengers was group hug. And the third fact, trivia fact, is that Darth Vader's name comes from the variation of the words dark and Vader, which is the Dutch word for father. So, two facts. Two are fact, they're correct, one is incorrect. I'll say it again. Robert Downey Jr. hid food on the set. Darth Vader's name comes from the Dutch word for father. And the code word for Avengers was group hug. Amy, since you're the guest, you get to go first.
All right, I'm going to say the one that is incorrect is the Avengers codename.
Oh, okay.
And that the other two are correct.
Okay, Nige, what do you think?
I'm going to say the third one, Darth Vader, because I don't believe that George Lucas had planned the whole father angle. That's a real sore spot with me. I don't believe George Lucas planned out the whole Vader as your father relationship thing in advance. So I think that is incorrect. Because I know for a fact that it was based on Dark and Vader, but I don't believe it had anything to do with Dutch. So.
Okay. And in fact, I'll tell you which ones are true first. Robert Downey Jr. does hide food on movie sets. In fact, when he did The Judge, Vincent D'Onofrio, who was also in there, said, Downey does hide food all over the set. I'm not going to tell you why, but he does. It makes perfect sense. So, for some reason, he likes to hide food on movie sets.
Maybe he's hangry.
Yeah. Nobody would like him when he's angry, so he just leaves snacks. Okay, Tom Hiddleston actually did tell someone in The Guardian that it was the code name for Avengers was Group Hug. So that one is also true. Sorry. But in fact, Nigel, you're correct, the Dutch word for father is nothing like Vader. And the rumor that the Darth Vader's name comes from Dutch word for father is completely untrue. So that is the untrue IMDb trivia fact that you can look up. It is probably still there on the website. Sorry. All right, guys.
Somebody needs to get in there like Wikipedia and edit it.
Yeah, you know something. You guys at home, how did you do? Did you guess the correct trivia fact was actual fact, or did you guess that it was actually incorrect? Let us know in the comments. All right, so Amy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, we really appreciate it.
It's awesome. And you guys at home, make sure you check out geekswithcurves.com, Amy-Ratcliffe, and I'm going to spell it. AMY-RATCLIFFE.com. You can also see her on Star Wars Insider, and as she mentioned, Twitter. She's amazing on Twitter. Live tweets all the time. At Amy_geek.com. AMY_GEAK. Thank you so much for joining us, Amy. We really
Thank you very, very much for having me. This was fun. FullofSith.com.
FullofSith.com. So you guys, make sure you check out that podcast. It's Full of Sith. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us. Take care.
And be sure to visit us on our website, thegeektwins.com, and follow us on Twitter at geektwins. And we always have to say the theme music was downloaded at freesfx.co.uk.